don't just exist, live live on AWR SID Media.
Joining us now is the good pastor who has been helping us with the chapter 37, and today we'll be doing chapter 38, and this is none other than the good pastor who has been with us, Pastor I.S. Kabasa. Good afternoon to you, Pastor, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. It's always a pleasure to be back. How are you doing?
I'm well, Pastor. I'm doing much better than I was on Monday, but I'm grateful that I'm healing. The flu is no longer as hectic on me as it was then. How are you doing?
Oh, though, that's good. I'm happy you're better.
Lovely.
I didn't even notice you had a flu on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah, good, good, good. I'm happy. All right. We are doing chapter 38 of the book of Exodus, right?
Yes.
Lovely. All right. And it reads as follows. They built the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood. 3 cubits high. It was square, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. They made a horn at each of the 4 corners, so that the horns and the altar were of one piece, and they overlaid the altar with bronze. They made all its utensils of bronze, its pots, shovels, sprinkling bowls, meat forks, and fire pans. They made a grating for the altar, a bronze network to be under its leg. Halfway up the altar, they cast the bronze rings to hold the poles for the 4 corners of the bronze grating. They made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. They inserted the poles into the rings so they would go and be on the sides of the altar for carrying it. They made it hollow out of boards. They made the bronze basin and its bronze stand from the mirrors of the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Next, they made the courtyard. The south side was 100 cubits long and had curtains of finely twisted linen, with 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, and with silver hooks and bands on the posts. The north side was also 100 cubits long and had 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, with silver hooks and bands on the posts. The west end was 50 cubits wide and a curtains with 10 posts and 10 bases with silver hooks and bands on the posts. The east end, however, toward the sunrise was also 50 cubits wide. Curtains 15 cubits long were on one side of the entrance with 3 posts and 3 bases. And curtains 15 cubits long were on the other side of the entrance to the courtyard with 3 posts and 3 bases. Hooks, the hooks and bands on the posts were silver, and their tops were overlaid with silver. So all the posts of the courtyard had silver bands. The curtain for the entrance to the courtyard was made of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. It was 20 cubits long and, like curtains of the courtyard, 5 cubits high, with 4 posts and 4 bronze bases. Their hooks and bands were silver, and their tops were overlaid with silver. All the tent pegs of the tabernacle and of the surrounding courtyard were bronze. Now, these are the amounts of the materials used for the tabernacle. The tabernacle of the covenant law, which were recorded at Moses' command by the Levites under the direction of Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest. Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made everything the Lord commanded Moses. With him was Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and designer and an embroiderer in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen. The total amount of the gold from the wave offering used for all the work on the sanctuary was 29 talents and 730 shekels, according to the sanctuary shekel. the silver obtained from those of the community who were counted in the census was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels, again, according to the sanctuary shekel. One beka per person, that is half a shekel, according to the sanctuary shekel, from everyone who had crossed over to those counted, 20 years old or more, a total of 603,550 men. The 100 talents of silver were used to cast the bases for the sanctuary and for the curtains. 100 bases from the 100 talents, one talent for each base. They used the 1,775 shekels to make the hooks for the posts, to overlay the tops of the posts, and to make their bands, you see. The bronze from the wave offerings was 700 talents and 2,400 shekels. They used it to make the bases for the entrance to the tent of meeting, the bronze altar with its bronze grating and all its utensils, the bases for the surrounding courtyard and those for its entrance, and all the tent pegs for the tabernacle and those for the surrounding courtyard. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, now and forever. Amen. Pastor, your comments.
Oh, it's a beautiful, chapter. And sometimes people get caught up in the details and lose the general message, which is so clear. If you have noticed, we are dealing with the outer court. We are dealing with things that were in the court. Chapter 37 presents the construction of items, utensils that were in the most holy and the holy place. So now we are looking at things that were on the outer court, which have to do with the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. So it's an interesting phase because it's connected with the humanity of Christ and him coming to earth and being our burnt offering that delivers us from eternal death.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the kinds of offerings. I do understand when perhaps we read the book of Leviticus, there will be much more clarity made about those kinds of offerings. But it is said that all these that were offered were for a wave offering. Kindly explain what a wave offering is, because here we're hearing all kinds of precious stones and minerals and gold, bronze, silver were for a wave offering. Kindly explain what a wave offering is.
Oh, that's a good one. The wave offering, the book of Leviticus goes into details.
Indeed.
And it's been a while since I checked that. I'd have to flip to that section.
Okay.
And look at a couple of those texts.
Okay.
In order to do that.
Not a problem. Maybe when we get into it. Yesterday on Monday, we spoke about the value of acacia wood, and we're seeing it is both in the holy areas and the outer court. And the Holy of Holies, they were using acacia wood. But here, in the outer court, they are still using acacia wood. Do talk to us about acacia wood. What exactly is so significant that it is applicable in both the outer court, the Holy, and the Holy of Holies? For in the Holy of Holies and in the Holy, they were using gold. But here we are seeing in the outer court, they are using silver and bronze, which gives some distinction in terms of silver and bronze used in the outer court, but gold being used in the inner, in the holy and the holy of holies. So do talk to us about the transcendental value of acacia wood, that such it is not going to be restricted to one area, but in both areas. Kindly explain.
Yeah, that is interesting. You know, the value that it had at the time is the only insight I have about it, is that in the construction of the sanctuary, God employed the very best of the very best. And acacia was one of them. Now, why we see it being used in the most holy, in the holy, and then when you go out, you find it. I have never, how do I put it? I've never been interested as to why. That is actually a good observation. But in general, what we do know is that God employed or used the best materials available, gold, silver, acacia wood. And I don't really know why it is used in all these three places.
Right.
Okay. I'm not sure why that happens.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about these utensils. I found it rather interesting that we are talking about these utensils, which were fashioned, taken from everyone. But we are told about the mirrors that were taken from the women that were serving at the entrance of the sanctuary. What were those women serving as? What was their job?
Good question. Now, the Bible doesn't go over in this section, it doesn't go into details exactly what they were doing. And when you look in literature, extra-biblical literature, they describe several roles and responsibilities, particularly when you look at the sanctuary motifs of other nations. And one that we have a lot of accounts written about is the sanctuary concept in Babylon, with their Akitu festivals and several other rituals, where even the king, not only the priest, played a role. But over here, we have no details as to what they did. But they were not involved into the ritualistic elements of to the priest. They probably helped with some roles of how do we call them? How would we put it? Well, let me put it in light of the priest and how it is actually presented in light of the roles of the priest.
Right.
They did not take part in the services or in the activities that were ceremonially connected to the ministry of Christ. Those responsibilities were taken upon by the priests. I wish in this context we had more detail to discuss it. But I haven't found anything, and I don't recall details of exactly the things they did.
Are these not the very same women that Hophni and Phinehas were toying around with?
Hey, that's an interesting hypothesis. In his context, in those guys' context, those ladies were coming to take part in the services led out by the people that had been set apart. And they were sort of, misguiding them, taking advantage of these women who would come to participate in the services. But that's an interesting hypothesis.
I want to share with you 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. That's where we get this notion of... let me read. It reads from the Christian Standard Bible. Now, Eli,
what text?
This is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22.
Chapter 2, 22. Go ahead, man.
1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22 says, "Now Eli was very old. He heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they were sleeping with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting."
They were not taking part, how do you put it, playing the priestly roles.
Right.
Probably welcoming people, assigning tasks,
Yeah.
I don't know, but it doesn't go into detail.
And their role was not to sleep with men there. They're not, because we know in other communities like the Babylonians and the Moabites, they had temple prostitutes.
They did. And so, the money they got from the prostitution was used to fund the sanctuary.
Right. So again, I ask, is it not possible that these women's proceeds and the various, the Bible says in Exodus, in our chapter today, they were using mirrors, and those mirrors, they offered them for the work of the temple, building that very same utensil. I'm curious again, was their work not also prostitution?
I don't think that's what the text is saying.
It's not. It's not. I'm simply pondering on the use of mirrors. Why would women need mirrors at the entrance? I don't know what purpose a mirror serves outside seeing yourself when you're beautifying yourself or performing any rituals for hygiene. So
I don't think it was for a ritual of hygiene, but it also doesn't only open a door for prostitution. You have a wide, how do I put it? You can explore several things. I mean, just on the basis of a mirror, I don't think it's enough to posit prostitution.
I'm not using the issue of the mirror. I'm using the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, what they did.
No, those guys, when you look at the text,
right?
The narrative suggests that they took advantage of the woman.
Right.
Not that they went to solicit the services of the woman,
right.
Sexual services.
Right. Okay.
But that they misguided them, took advantage of them. Now, if the text were to tell us that he went to avail of their sexual services, something like that.
Right.
And then I
right.
think we would have grounds to posit that that's what was going on. Yeah, that's what I would say to that, man.
Okay. It's a rather difficult chapter to deal with for me, because all of these things are popping up, and my mind quickly sends one thought to that one thought. Let's talk about the necessity of the silver, or the work of the silver. One would assume, again, that there is a reason why silver and bronze are used, and the efficacy of silver and bronze. Can you share with us why, alternatively, here in the outer court, they're using silver and bronze?
You know, God just invested the best into building his sanctuary. Gold, silver, bronze, acacia wood, and several of the other things. Probably you have silver in that part of the sanctuary because of the nature of the work that goes on over there. And then when you are dealing, for example, with the Most Holy, it is representative of the throne of God, the presence of God. And so you have a lot of things covered in gold, which adds to that visual illustration of beauty and elegance and glory. But when you come to the outer court, you have there the sacrificing of animals and all these other rituals, the basins.
Right.
And so there's not much need of that much gold. But yeah, generally, you know that God invested the best into his sanctuary at humans' disposal at the time. But probably silver is because of what was done and what the court represented. Yes.
So I'm asking this because there are some contrasts that some people have drawn, which I'd like to hear your opinion about. that there is more need for beauty in the sanctuary, in the holy parts of the sanctuary, and value must be placed there. And then the lesser valuable materials compared to gold, silver and bronze are lesser of the value. And as such, the materials that were used in the outer court, silver and bronze, because they were of lesser value, therefore we can construe a lesser value or lesser amounts or things of lesser value can be used out there. But inside the holy places, it must be gold. Is that analysis correct, though?
You know, I think you've noticed that's what I'm trying to avoid to convey to people. And I'm trying to choose my words very carefully from the beginning, because I don't like to give that impression, because I don't think it's true. So, you know, what the court illustrates with the death of Jesus Christ is very important. Very important.
Right.
I don't see an element in the sanctuary that is least important. Why? You see, without his death, he would not enter into the Holy of Holies. Without the death of the animal that offered at the altar, on the court, it was only through blood that the priest would enter into the holy place. Without blood, he wouldn't enter that place.
Right.
And then once a year, when he enters the Most Holy, there would be a ritual that would begin on the court at Yom Kippur, Leviticus 16. Now, to say that one is more important than the other, no. I would say there's gold in the Most Holy, and all of this elegance that is described in it, because it represents the throne of God, the presence of God. And when you come to the court, it doesn't represent that. It's connected with the sacrificial death of Christ. But I wouldn't ascribe one element, one compartment, one utensil as being more important than the other, because each of them, they are used in light of the other. So they are, it's like the Ten Commandments, you know, you break one, James 2:10 tells us you broke all of them. If you try to remove one, you've destroyed the whole thing. You have to keep it intact. Mm. They are beautiful. They are powerful because they are interconnected and they're intact. Mm. And that's what I would say.
So there's then a distinction. Everyone donated, but we are not told, as is specified with verse 8, what the various donations from the various people were doing. But we are told in verse 8 that the bronze that these women who were serving at the tent or the entrance was used to make the bronze basin and its bronze stand. Why?
Again, I didn't get you. Could you repeat that?
Verse 8 says, they made the bronze basin and its bronze stand from the mirrors of the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't use it for any other thing. The bronze from their mirrors, from these women's mirrors, was not used for any other thing.
Mm.
Now take note, all the utensils were made of bronze in the outer court. And then some parts of silver. But we're not told that the men in the community, we used the to build this, and the children, we used it to build this. No. We are only told that from the mirrors of these women, they made this particular item, the bronze basin and its bronze stand. Why? Why was there a necessity to specify their bronze? Because this is not the only bronze that was used there. But they didn't use it for any other thing but for this purpose. Why?
Good question. I would also like to know why. And since it tells us that that's what they used it for, and without further detail as to why, I guess we can, from the immediate context and limiting ourselves to the texts available in the chapter as to why the silver from their mirrors were used. Maybe they were the ones who gave it for that purpose. Maybe there was no more silver left and they came up and gave that silver and it was used specifically for that. Maybe it was the type of silver. But commenting on the immediate context, all I have for you are hypotheses.
Sorry, Mfulis, does your verse 8 say it's silver? Because my verse 8 says it's bronze.
Oh, no, I meant bronze, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then
you were wondering if I wrote a Bible, huh?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe my translation is wrong.
No.
And then there was a specification. That's going to be my final question, Mfunis. These amounts, that we're told about, is there any significance to them from verse 24? Verse 24 says, the total amount of the gold from the wave offering used for all the work on the sanctuary was 29 talents, 730 shekels, according to the sanctuary shekel. And then it goes on to give us other amounts. Is there any specific significance in the quantities that we're being told here?
Yeah, I think there is. You know, one talent of gold is like, a talent is 73 pounds, and then one shekel is like 11 grams. You know, that's a lot of money.
Okay.
And a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I think it's telling us that we need to, how do I put this? Invest, or do the best whenever we're doing something that is connected to the salvation of people. You know, sometimes we keep money that we should be using to present the gospel, and that's what the sanctuary does. But if there's one thing we should invest in, it's anything that contributes towards the gospel. Get the very best, do the very best, spend, invest in the gospel. That's what I personally get from it.
Okay.
All right.
Mfunis, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for your insights. A very, very interesting chapter for me. Once you get the answers to those questions I was asking, Mfunis, please do share. I'd love to know. Love to know. Thank you very much for your time, Mfunis, and your insights. Have a wonderful day further, Mfunis.
Shalom. God bless.
Thank you, Mfunis.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.